Good morning. I'm Linda Perry with WBAI News. In Washington, there are accusations of secret reports, vanishing documents, whispers of crime, intimidation, and cover-up between the CIA and the Senate. The quarrel, rumbling beneath the surface for years, burst into full view on the Senate floor on Tuesday when Senator Dianne Feinstein slammed the CIA with accusations that the CIA hacked into Senate Intelligence Committee computers.
I have grave concerns that the CIA's search may well have violated the separation of powers principles embodied in the United States Constitution, including the speech and debate clause. It may have undermined the constitutional framework essential to effective congressional oversight of intelligence activities or any other government function. I have asked for an apology and a recognition that this CIA search of computers used by its oversight committee was inappropriate. I have received neither.
Christopher Alders, senior legislative counsel for the ACLU, said after so many years of Congress being unable or unwilling to assert its authority over the CIA, Senator Feinstein began to reclaim the authority of Congress as a check on the executive branch. But some argue that Feinstein is two-faced, given her support of NSA dragnet spying on American citizens and others abroad on the one hand, and speaking out against CIA spying on the Senate on the other. It was Feinstein who had been highly critical of Snowden and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, two people some view as whistleblowers and defenders of the public's civil liberties. Feinstein said last summer that Snowden's actions were an act of treason, that he should be prosecuted. Later today, Code Pink activists will address the two faces of Feinstein. They'll stage political theater at her office with a pro-spying Feinstein and another anti-spying Feinstein. Medea Benjamin of Code Pink said it's hypocritical of Senator Feinstein to defend the NSA's practices of mass spying and condemn Edward Snowden as a traitor, but then express outrage when it's possible that her committee has been spied on by the CIA. In a statement Edward Snowden released about Feinstein's speech, he said, "It's clear the CIA was trying to play keep away with documents relevant to an investigation by their overseers in Congress, and that's a serious constitutional concern. But it's equally, if not more concerning, that we're seeing another Merkel effect, where an elected official does not care at all that the rights of millions of ordinary citizens are violated by our spies. But suddenly it's a scandal when a politician finds out the same thing happens to them." On the third anniversary of the Fukushima disaster, one of the world's worst disasters, a public official went up against the Japanese prime minister calling for an end to nuclear power. Facing a floral memorial for the disaster's victims, his back to the audience, Bumai Ibuki, the speaker of Japan's lower house of parliament, lamented how Japan's admiration of science and technology gave rise to a sense of arrogance, that humans can control nature. He ended his brief remarks advocating an energy policy with a view towards a nuclear phase-out in the future. An aide to Mr. Ibuki said the lawmaker's office believes Tuesday was the first time he made such a public statement. In New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio appointed Joseph Pont as the new corrections commissioner. Pont headed Maine's prison since 2011. He's widely credited with reducing the number of inmates in solitary confinement there by two-thirds.
What you're seeing in corrections across the country, not just here in New York, but in Maine, in Mississippi, in Colorado, is really a debate on how we do our business. For those who came into corrections years ago, the kinds of strategies, the use of isolation, segregation, solitary confinement, are what we taught people. That's how I was taught to do corrections when I came to work. You know, the leadership across the country has really been moving in a direction that we've proven ourselves wrong. There's enough data and research out there to say some of our practices really conflict with our mission. So if we're truly trying to make people better, long-term segregation is not the answer. But we still need to keep our places safe, we still need to keep our staff safe, and we need to treat the offenders so they're better on the way out than when they came in.
Ponce said he'll bring everyone to the table to make a plan that works for New York. At City Hall, food advocates and public officials rallied for free school lunches for all. 250,000 city children are eligible for free lunch now, but don't participate. Public advocate Tish James says that's because there's a poverty stigma associated with free lunch, and she wants to remove it. James said, "We have children standing on two separate lines to get food, those who are paying and those who are not." That's why she announced plans for free lunch for every public school student, to eliminate that stigma. By offering free school lunches, New York City would join other cities like Boston, Chicago, and Dallas, where children receive free lunch regardless of family income. The Free School Lunch Initiative was launched in 2010 as part of First Lady Michelle Obama's Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.